dare you bring facts to a bullshit fight? How dare you, sir?
Fuck it.
There's no words on
tomorrow.
It.
Fuck it.
We'll do it live.
Fuck it.
Because I've never seen that.
Fucking thing sucks.
There's no words there.
Fuck it.
There's no words
that's
on
tomorrow.
It.
Tomorrow. Fuck it.
We'll do it live.
Fuck it.
Because I've never seen that.
Fucking thing sucks.
There's no words there.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Fuck. I don't know.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome to another idiotic Saturday night where I, Josh Hadley, will help point out all the stupidity in the world. And to join me, I have every organ grinder needs a monkey, so I have Michigan J. Frog himself, Charlie McMullen.
I'm not good with technology.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll go into that or not. And we have not a monkey, not a Michigan J. Frog, but the cat.
Hello, everyone.
See, she's so nice and pleasant, and Charlie's just all in your face.
In your face.
I was going for just around the face, just hanging with the face, not
in
the
general vicinity of the face.
I just want to be in the face's neighborhood is all.
So, guys, speaking of in the face, AdamandEve.com. You can go there, use the promo code WHAT, and you would get 10 free gifts on top of whatever you order. You'd get 6 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, a gift for him, a gift for her, and free U.S. shipping. That In the Face thing just, it was perfect, right, Charlie?
I myself just ordered In the Face Volume 10 from AdamandEve.com. I'm told that it really ties the whole saga together. I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
All right, well, then let's get into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Are you sure that wasn't the dumbest thing already?
No, not the dumbest. No, it's a dumbest, not the.
We've definitely thrown down the gauntlet for dumbest Adam and Eve promo.
Yeah, we're in that area, yeah. We're in the area of the face.
We're not proud.
I've done a lot of dumb Adam and Eve promos. I'm kind of an authority.
When you see KKK, what does that mean to you? What does KKK mean to you?
Well, other than a hate group, it actually, and this is getting a little personal here, but I call my aunts the KKK because their names are Kathy, Kelly, and Carrie. So I just mentally refer to them as the KKK. But generally, normal people would think of, like, the Klan, you know, white sheets lynching black people.
Are you saying you don't think of donuts?
Should I? Have I been missing something?
Apparently you have. In England, the Krispy Kreme in England has the KKK, the Krispy Kreme Club. And club is spelled with
nice.
A K. And they didn't understand why people were so offended at the Krispy Kreme Club advertising the KKK Wednesdays at Krispy Kreme in the UK.
KKK Wednesdays.
Yes.
Okay, well, they don't really have a leg to stand on because they could get upset saying, hey, fuck that. I mean, Klan doesn't even start with K, but neither does club. So you're kind of hoisted by your own petard, England.
Or cream.
The only reason that I'm going to give them a slight pass on this is the Klan does not have much of a foothold in the UK. If this had happened in America, I'd say there's no way you didn't know this. In England, they might not actually have known that KKK stands for the Ku Klux Klan. I'm going to give them a little bit of a pass because the Klan does not have much of a foothold in the UK. Am I being too forgiving?
Well, I mean, I think anytime you want to start up a business or do any kind of thing where you're going to want to brand something, the first thing you should do is Google it and see if it exists already.
Probably a safe bet.
And I think if they would have just Googled KKK, they would have found out.
Also, like, just a quick note from the show, do not Google KKK. That sets off some red flags in America, so don't do that.
All right, well, let's move from the Klan to, I want to laugh at this, but a death is involved. So the better part of me can't laugh as much, but a 55-year-old woman in Michigan was adjusting her bra holster and shot herself in the head and killed herself. I want to laugh at the whole shot herself while adjusting her bra holster, but then a woman died. Where do either of you fall in this? Is this funny?
Of course it's funny, but I'm not going to laugh at it. Because somebody died. I mean, it's, again, anytime somebody who is like such a staunch and flamboyant open carry supporter accidentally shoots themselves, it kind of makes me happy. But I understand that these are real people, and it's never a good thing when someone dies. So is it hilarious? Yes. Am I going to laugh? No.
What about you, Kat? Are you a better person than Charlie and I?
No, not really. I do, in some way, find it kind of morbidly hysterical. I'm not proud. But it I do find it kind of funny, but extremely tragic. And I just wonder, why do you even have that? Why?
Okay. Okay, Charlie and I don't have boobs. Is a bra holster really a... is that a thing?
Well, I don't have guns, so I wouldn't know. I have...
If it's anything like what I imagine a ball holster to be, no, I don't think it's a thing.
I could understand, like, putting some stuff down your cleavage. Like, sometimes I'll throw my phone down there because I have the assets to do it with. I really, really wouldn't trust... I barely trust my bras, like, to begin with. Much less a holster that's attached to my bra somehow. Who thought that was a good idea to put... And you know that weapon had to have been, like... What do you call it when it's able to fire?
No, I'm safety. Totally blank.
The safety
is off.
Why would you have a gun that close to your body, like with the safety off?
Let's stick with Michigan then. The Hollywood Nights porno store. Well, it got burned down from the axe wielding hair designer who burned it down for God. He said he was doing God's work. Mitchell Hapner set fire to the Hollywood Knights shop while wielding an axe. He is an out-of-work hairdresser and said he was doing God's work by doing this.
So when we say that he was wielding an axe, we're talking about like a hatchet and not like body products, right?
Ha! I didn't even see that pun. Very good. Yes, we are talking, he was wielding an actual bladed instrument axe.
Because I'm just thinking out-of-work hairdresser, like maybe he's got some like hair product or something. Because the visual was in my mind, and now it's not going away.
That's how it will be when Eddie Izzard plays him in the movie.
I hope so. And
that would be amazing.
Now, here's the thing. He thought he was doing God's work, burning down this porno store. Well, the family who ran it, had their office in the back, which was full of family photos, kids drawings, things like that. They lost all of this because this idiot decided, just out of nowhere, God hates porn, let's go burn it down and I'm going to take my axe with me. Not the body spray. People need to stop doing God's work. God does not tell you to murder an abortion doctor. God does not tell you to burn down a porno store. God does not talk to you. People, if you are hearing God, you are having a psychotic episode.
I would like to point out that what we have might be maybe the most ironic thing that's ever happened. What we have is a hate crime committed by a male hairdresser.
Are you I'm trying just, to make some kind of a gay connotation?
Without actually saying it, yes. Religious people, like especially religious zealots, come in all shapes and sizes, even self-contradictory ones. Same thing, we've mentioned this before, same thing with female conservatives.
Sort of an oxymoron, but you know,
yeah.
To each their own.
Female Republican, yes, those are words that don't go together, but somehow they do.
What I'm assuming is a gay man. I might be myself bigoted for assuming that, but I don't think it's bigoted if every single male hairdresser I've ever met was gay. I'm just going on environment at this point. I just think it's weird that he would be willing to commit arson and burn down somebody's business and destroy their photo albums, stuff like that, all in the name of a religion that would kill him with a rock. Take a step back and look at what they're doing sometimes.
Yeah, see, the whole thing about God talking to you is that you need to be able to prove it, because otherwise you're just hearing voices. And it just makes you wonder about people sometimes, the people who, like televangelists who say that God spoke to them. Like, no, if you're hearing voices, you have other issues.
Are you telling me that God told me to do it is not a valid defense in court?
Boy, I hope not.
Hey, really hope not. If the Republicans retain the House and the Senate in 2016, it may be.
Right?
Well, speaking of Republicans, let's talk about Republican racism, because we have to. Rudy Giuliani's in the news again. Apparently, it's okay to say racist things to Obama and say that Obama, quote, does not love America and does not love you, because, and I'm quoting here, Obama was raised by a white mother, a white grandmother, and in white schools. It's not racist. Basically, what Giuliani is saying is, Obama was raised white, so I'm not a racist for hating the nigger.
Yeah, a little gap in logic going on, but it's Giuliani, so there's that. It's not okay to hate anybody for their skin color at all, period. I don't care. The idea that you can culturally be black or white based 100% on your skin color or based 100% on how you were raised, it's all pretty ridiculous.
He also contradicts himself because he says, and I'm quoting here, a white grandfather went to white schools and learned most of this he learned from white people. Then he later goes on to say, he doesn't love you, he doesn't love me, he doesn't love this country. He wasn't brought up the way you and I were brought up through love of this country, unquote.
See, it kills me that somebody who's so filled with hatred is accusing somebody else of not loving their country when obviously he is just so utterly filled with hatred.
Well, what he's saying is, first of all, incredibly racist. That is bad. But if I can put sort of a silver lining on it, he did not mention 9/11 one time. So for him, that is a step forward.
That is kind of a record for Giuliani. That's true.
Probably the longest he's ever gone without mentioning 9/11. So good for him for that. But based on what he said, it's really fucking stupid because I grew up with a grandfather that would constantly talk about how bad the Irish were fucked when they came to America. Based on Giuliani's logic, I don't love America. That's bullshit. I do love America. Sometimes the people in it piss me off, but I love America. I love everything that we pretend to stand for, you know what I mean?
How about we talk about a different type of Republican racism? Mississippi. Do I even need to go into details, or should I just leave it at Mississippi?
Yeah, I think we're done here.
And next segment.
State Representative Gene Alday, of course a Republican, said, and I'm quoting, he comes from a town where all the blacks are getting food stamps and what I call crazy welfare checks. These people just don't want to work, unquote. All black people are getting food stamps and crazy welfare checks. Is this a man who's living in Reagan's America, or is this a man, I want to add this, I'm still quoting here, I am definitely not racist, not at all, because, I mean, I get along with everybody, and I've spent a lot of time helping people.
I have friends that are black, two of them.
I'm not racist at all, right after, all blacks are getting food stamps and what I call crazy welfare checks. These people just don't want to work. I'm not racist, though.
I think if you say the words, these people, you're already making yourself look like a fucking racist. Black people, I don't know what his definition of a crazy welfare check is. I'm just kind of curious.
It's like a regular welfare check, but it's crazy.
It's crazy. It's maddening how much money they're getting off of welfare.
It's extreme. Like,
they might actually be able to feed their families or something.
Here's the most beautiful part. He claims that quote about blacks and the crazy welfare checks is an underhanded way to try and get him, because he was talking, quote, off the record with a friend. So you
can be racist in private, but that's not how you really feel because you weren't in front of a camera?
Yes, it's true that most of the blacks in my hometown are on welfare, but they're good people. I don't have anything against anybody. I'm a straight-up guy. In my little town, they had little civil rights walks, and I was with them. I'm with everybody.
I'm just racist as fuck.
When you said his name was Gene Alday, first of all, I just pictured him hanging out with his friends going, I'm Republican all day. That just gave me a little bit of laugh for myself. But I have been on welfare, and I can tell you that people do want to work. They're just not always able to work and receive more than minimum wage with a family to support. That's where the government assistance comes in. One other thing that came to mind was how I just noticed tonight, everybody I have ever heard complain about people getting welfare are all people who do not need that tax money that they claim to be spending.
They're also people who have never been on welfare.
Really, you should only bitch about something when it affects you personally. I think that would be a good rule for people to just keep in mind in general. And I also think he appears racist by being a politician in Mississippi.
I'm not so sure about that one, because the Republican Party of Mississippi has basically went, whoa, 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 quoting here House Speaker Philip Gunn. I condemn the comments recently made by Representative Gene Alday. They do not reflect the views of the Republican Party, nor of the leadership of the House of Representatives.
Actually, so, they really do represent the views of the Republican Party.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you at all yet. I'm just
but
saying,
nice walk back, guys. Nice walk back.
Yeah, I was going to say, officially, they kicked him to the curb.
Hey, see that bus we're going to throw you under? We're throwing you under that.
Yeah, the blacks are not at the back of it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what the NRA says every time someone shoots herself with their tit.
I thought we weren't going to make jokes about that.
I thought so, too. It felt right. The obscene times call for obscene jokes, Josh. I don't know. I'm going to throw some of my own ignorance. This is something that I'm saying without having researched anything about Gene Alday, Republican Alday. I don't know anything about him, but here's what I'm assuming. He is a politician in Mississippi. He can afford to campaign periodically for his own job. He probably has a lot of money. Mississippi is not known for its booming economy where anybody can get rich. So it's probably old money. Old money in Mississippi comes from slaves, comes from moving black people from Africa into your backyard and then whipping them until they work for free.
I am offended.
Seriously,
at that
for
statement.
Free.
All Mississippians should be offended at that statement, and you have to give up your best boy for the entire plantation season next year. Oh, I'm sorry, was that racist?
Was that assumptive about the nature of Mississippi, or was that too accurate?
A little bit, but nothing we could say could be more racist than what Gene Alday said.
Well, and, you know, off the record, in the next segment, we're going to talk about the difference between credibility and the false memories that you have in believing your own hype. Just because he said this off the record, does that mean that the person who revealed this to the newspapers, is he better or worse than Alday? Because Alday, for...
Better.
You're not even letting me finish, huh? Okay,
no,
he's better.
No, I know right away. He is better than Alday.
So
saying off the record before you say something just aggressively racist does not mean you are not a racist for saying it just because you said off the record. No, if anyone who says off the record and then says a bunch of horrible shit that they don't have to take responsibility for can go fuck themselves. There should be no off the record. Life is the record. History is the record. If you say off the record, it means you are doing things that you know are horrible that you don't feel you have to be held accountable for. So, no, the reporter is better than Alday.
But please continue what you were going to say, Josh.
It doesn't have any relevance anymore because Charlie shut me down.
My bad. Did not mean to do that, Josh. It's just off the record. That's always been sort of a bone of contention with me. People that say off the record and then say horrible shit and go, oh, you can't tell people I said that. It was a secret. We're your fucking adults. You know what I mean?
My secret racist tendencies that I don't want my voters to know about because some of them might be offended.
Well, I don't know. There is that oxymoron of black Republican. Since Charlie shut my ass down, you have anything to add to this cat or we'll go to break?
No. This guy's scum.
All right. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to look at credibility, Brian Williams, and Bill Orley.
Hey guys, welcome to Heart Attack. I am Hart D. Fisher. I was off for a week because I was in Chicago at the Mad Mobster True Crime and Horror Expo, and right next to me was Mr. John Borowski, the writer-director of Serial Killer Culture, and a man I believe to be the best documentarian of true crime films today. John was going to hop on the phone with us a little bit. He's having a problem with Facebook. I think we'll get an update from him next week about that. John has, you know, he's got some new stuff premiering on American Horrors, my horror channel on Film On at filmon.com. And for those people complaining that I talk about American Horrors too much, why the fuck do you think I do this radio show? I do it to promote American Horrors and my own personal conspiracy agenda. Josh, how you been, buddy?
Are you saying that you've been using me for over 2 years? You whore!
I used you, Josh. I used you like a dirty condom. A condom I used again and again. It was filled with old cum, but I put new cum into it over and over. It's such an old, nasty condom. It's disgusting.
Is there a reason you went Count Crazy Craig there?
No, actually, that was the original voice of I kidnapped the editor of Hero Illustrated out of his office with some of my compadres, and we did a video. You can see it online, the kidnapping of Frank Kurtz. And I talk like that, and I'm trying to imitate a bad, bad accent like Petrock the Lieber.
All right, then. Now, before we started recording, I was mentioning how you're obviously in California and I'm in Wisconsin, but you were in Chicago. You said you'd forgotten some. You grew up in Chicago, but you'd mentioned how you forgot some of the how to deal with the Chicago winter, didn't you?
Well, yeah, being back there. One, it was so great to be back in Chicago. It was so nice to be home and see my mom. And the people who did the Mad Monster show were really good. Eben is a good guy, and I've known Eben a long time. So this is the first time I've done one of his shows. He flew me out as a guest. I was on some panels. I got to meet some amazing people. I want to give a shout out to the Savage family. They were a couple of very interesting people I met that work in law enforcement and work for National Guard. And they were a lovely couple I spent my Sunday evening with. I spent a lot of time with Barry, a gentleman who grew up with John Wayne Gacy, and we spent a lot of time talking. I got to talk with Richard, who was also a Columbine survivor, and we kind of talked about that and survivor's guilt. And it was a heavy, heavy show, Josh. It was really heavy for me to be in Chicago on Valentine's Day by myself at this show. I had a lot of mental issues dealing with what I was there to talk about. I was there to talk about my girlfriend's murder, being alone and talking about this and being in freezing my ass off in Chicago because the cold creeps up on you. That's the thing I forgot about is it's not so much getting ready to get out in the cold. It's just how it creeps into your bones. And before you know it, you're just chilled to the bone. And that's the thing I really forgot about with the cold.
And yet here I'm in Wisconsin going, dude, 40 degree weather. We're wearing shorts.
You know, and then the wind chill was just really nasty. And I also forgot about how fast the wind can yank the warmth out of you if you don't have a hat on. Mostly I had a hat on when I was walking around outside, but there was just one time where I didn't. And I was taking a walk with my mom on the south and down where she lives. And holy shit, it just sucked the heat right out of me. And I had my fur coat, my big fake fur coat, pimp coat, and it kept me really warm. It was great. And the ladies liked to pet the lion.
Why do I live in a place where the air hurts my face?
Yeah, right? I had fun, man. I had a good time. There was some negative aspects to the show, but overall, it was great to meet the fans. I met some Heart Attack listeners. Omar got to come out, and he actually picked up some comics. And, dude, I found gold at my old Chicago storage house. So I found copies of my spoken word CD, Come Bleed With Me. I found out-of-print Boneyard books. I found Psycho Hunter t-shirts. And, man, I met so many cool, this amazing lady, Virginia Curry, who is an FBI. She was a special agent with the FBI. She worked with the original profiling team. Amazing, amazing woman. I met so many cool people at the show. It really kind of blew my mind. There was a lot of amazing, smart people there. And Joe Polito was there, and he was a really fantastic guy, the actor from The Crow and so many other great films, talking about working with Michael Mann. And I was a Crime Story fan. Me and my dad and brother, we'd watch Crime Story. We loved Crime Story. He was on that show, and it was great. Some of the best panels I've ever seen at a show were at this Mad Mobster show. I couldn't believe it. And then when I was on stage and to look out in the audience and see Brad Dourif, for me, from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and for most other folks, it's Child's Play, that actor, who's
Exorcist
amazing. Yeah, Exorcist 3, The Gemini Killer. He's an amazing actor, brilliant. I'm told, I haven't really talked to him much, but he was there at the panel and he was right in the audience asking questions. And that was a hell of a thing, too, to be on a panel with somebody from the FBI, somebody who survived Ted Bundy, a Ted Bundy attack, and to be up there with John Borowski. It was a hell of a thing. The show was a real mind opener and a real bone crusher at the same time, just with my girlfriend was really messing with my head while I was there.
All this stuff that you found, you're going to send me some of it, right?
Yeah, I can't believe the stuff I found at my Chicago stash house, because all the Dahmer stuff's out of print, and my collected In Cold blog writings and American Horror Story, I had a special edition at Mad Mobster. I brought 30 copies with me. They're gone. They're all gone. If anybody wants to get the remaining, I've got 70 more from the, we did a 100 limited run. If anybody wants one, you know, contact me on Facebook. You can find me at facebook.com/heartattackradio or just Hart Fisher. I'm also on Twitter at heartattackradio and also at Hart_Fisher. Somebody else runs my Heart Attack Radio Twitter. I'm frankly swamped. I met with a lot of cool people about new programming. I'm working on a TV series, Josh. I met with financiers and I met with syndication people, and everybody's very excited that I am getting behind the camera in the director's chair, and I'm going to throw my hat in the ring and do a real horror TV series. And right
now,
are
you going to direct it like you used to do the music videos where you're screaming at the top of your lungs at the actors?
Well, that was on the obituary shoot where I was directing like 30 people in a loud bar, and I had a massive space to cover and no bullhorn. So that's why you saw me yelling at people, was because I was dealing with so many people and we were dealing with fire. And when you're dealing with fire, you got to be safe. You know, you got to look out for your actors as a director. And I would say this to anybody who's directing out there, as a director, you must look out for the safety of your crew and your actors. You are the captain of the ship and you must keep an eye out, and you must, even in the face of their own enthusiasm, it's your job to be looking out for the safety of everybody on your shoot. You know, that's just the way I feel about being a director.
I don't know. It just came across as very aggressive.
Well, it was, and I take fire very seriously. We were doing fire effects when I was yelling, and one of the guys was getting to the end of how many times he could blow, and he's like, hey, my mouth is starting to get too hot. So, you know, that's part of yelling and making sure everybody takes you seriously. And it was the end of the shoot. My voice was trashed.
You've got it under a false title and everything because Hart Fisher paranoid? Well, I never.
Not really paranoia. I've been plagiarized multiple times. I've been plagiarized by giant corporations. I've been plagiarized by individuals in the music industry. So when you've had your work stolen and you have had to deal with somebody, you know, trying to steal your copywritten comic books that have been made into a film, you know, I have a feature film that's on the shelf due to a crazy, insane dude who flipped out after finishing the film. And I even had to have my lawyer slap this guy down recently. You know, it's an ongoing thing with these thieves that steal your work. So, yeah, I've been very, very careful because I have a great concept. This new series that I'm working on is about exorcism. Who is killing the world's greatest exorcists and who will survive? It's 13 episodes. We're looking to raise $6.66 million. To do the first season. I'm going to write.
That number can't be coincidental, huh?
Oh, it's not coincidental at all. It involves Satanism. It involves exorcism. And forget about girls contorting in white dresses. We're going to get way darker, way deeper. I've been doing research on this series for years and years and years. And I'm going to write the first 13 episodes. I'm writing the first season myself. So I am getting back involved in the creative end of horror. I'm going to be getting back. And I've been doing a lot of writing. And Yes, I bought a typewriter yesterday.
much does education in America mean? Because we've got two stories before we get into the big discussion I want to get in with you guys. The Oklahoma Legislative Committee overwhelmingly this week voted to ban advanced placement U.S. history classes in high schools. You're not allowed to get the AP classes in your high school anymore for history because, quoting, they only teach what is bad about America. There is a growing tide of special interest groups indoctrinating our youth at the exclusion of the Christian perspective, and these classes refuse to teach American exceptionalism.
Ooh, okay. Education is very, very, very important. When other countries try and rewrite history, like, say, if the Germans tried to take out everything about Nazis out of their textbooks, we would throw a fucking fit because you can't just rewrite. Well, I mean, we always rewrite history, but you can't just erase something just because you don't want to talk about it because it makes you uncomfortable. Talking about the bad parts of American history it's important. It's important to know that America has fucked up and that's part of what's made us who we are. Otherwise, if you don't have any understanding of the present. You really do need to understand the past in order to understand why everything is the way it is now. And you can't just take that out because you don't like it. You can't, it's not un-American, it's not unpatriotic to talk about the truth. It's not. America is not as fucking sparkly, polished turd that we are. It's just, we're not that great. We're just not. We're a phenomenal nation to live in, but we have problems and we can't pretend like we don't.
We're not even the best out there. We're not even the best option anymore.
No, we're really not. And God, the desire to move to Canada just gets stronger and stronger every day.
The strippers get completely naked up there. Did you know that?
Wow, do they?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Fucking and for, Canada,
for only
bro.
For only a couple of dollars, they'll insert something into any orifice.
Oh my God.
Should okay. I have not gone there?
I swiped my debit card and I got a receipt back.
So the idea that we should limit people's ability to become educated because it doesn't meet with a limited set of values is absolutely a backward step. It's absolutely atrocious. And it's kind of ridiculous because I took a bunch of AP classes and their problem is that AP classes are like not monitored enough.
They are not teaching, and I quote again, American exceptionalism.
Well, see, I read another article, or I heard about this, and it was basically that schools wanted to get rid of Common Core, and Common Core was linked somehow to AP classes, and so AP classes were bad because a lot of schools wanted to not do Common Core, so they should not do AP as well. The purpose of an AP class, and this is its only purpose, is to prepare you to take an AP test. I took several AP classes in high school, and I know it's been a couple of years, but this was the whole point. Prepare you to take the AP test. It's practice tests. You do learn stuff. You read books and you learn history and stuff. But that's the only goal, is to force, like, to get you prepared for a test that will give you college credit so that you can not take some bullshit classes in college. That's the whole point of AP. It's not to indoctrinate you into anything. You just take a lot of practice tests. I don't know if other people have had different experiences, but that's a lot of what my AP classes were like.
No, it doesn't teach American exceptionalism, and nor does it teach history, again, quoting, from the Christian perspective. And that's what schools are there for.
Of course, because obviously Christians are the only worthy Americans, because we've killed all the other ones, or at least we've tried really damn hard.
Well, the Christian perspective is one that kills you with a rock for having butt sex, so I don't always want that perspective. I just know that a fact is a fact. Not learning it doesn't change the fact.
But Charlie, not learning that fact can change how that fact is learned in the future, though. It yeah. might not change the fact, but it could change the society that that fact affects.
Yeah, they're trying to spin history because they think America is the global economic superpower the rest of the world deserves, but not the one it needs. I think it's whitewashing everything that we need to learn, that everything children need to know to not be religiously zealous assholes is what they're trying to keep them from learning. It's because that's not a good thing to be. We don't want a whole nother generation shitting on everyone who doesn't believe in the same God that they do. That's not what we need to be teaching kids. And if any of these people that are shoving their beliefs down everyone's throat actually believe that they're doing it for the children, I would like you to know the children don't give a fuck. The children are going to memorize it for 20 minutes after the test is done and then forget it forever. Children are going to play along until they get to college, in which case they smoke and experiment with homosexuality and become a DJ, if I can quote the other guys, and just the children don't give a fuck.
Did you just accidentally release your own history there?
Not my own history, my roommate's history. So I was, I saw a lot of things, which is fine. I'm just saying, the children, if you think you're saving the children, I want you to know and believe that the children don't give a shit. They are just playing along until they're old enough to give you the finger and move on with their fucking lives.
Well, I want to read some more quotes here. The AP U.S. history test deliberately distorts and or edits out important historical events, this is by the RNC, reflects a radically revisionist view of American history that emphasizes negative aspects of our nation's history while omitting or minimizing positive aspects. Students should only be taught lessons depicting American heritage in a positive light, so it will not lead to dissent. That they want people to, quote, effectively ban material that could lead to dissent. What they're saying is, if we look at how fucked up our country actually is, people are going to be like downers and shit. We want to emphasize how fucking awesome we are so we can become that awesome from a Christian perspective with American exceptionalism. This is the Oklahoma School Board. They overwhelmingly voted for this. This means a majority of the Oklahoma School Board believe this.
Okay. I think Oklahoma has proven time and time again that they are not allowed to make their own decisions, because Oklahoma, I swear to God, every time I see Oklahoma in the news,
Oklahoma needs to wear a helmet in public.
They just keep making more and more backward ass decisions that are all about Jesus and not about being good people.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know the individual words Oklahoma School Board, but I've never heard them together like that.
They also want a banning on any teaching, and this is so ironic because they leave Christianity out of this one. They want a banning on any teaching in school that, quote, goes on ideological views, including evolution. They want evolution taken out because it's an ideological view, but you should teach Christianity because that's a fucking fact.
This is the same people, I assume, who want to replace teaching the Constitution with teaching the Ten Commandments. Am I assuming that correctly? Because I heard that coming out of Oklahoma.
Yes.
I assume it's the same fuckwits.
It's not just Oklahoma, though. I mean, I guess we shouldn't be surprised that Fox News, of course, jumped in on this. Fox News, numerous hosts on Fox News. So this is not an isolated incident. They think education, public education, should be done with because, quote, Andrea Tanderos, all schools do is teach, and I'm quoting here, meaningless liberal crap. There really shouldn't be public schools. I mean, we should really go to a system where parents of every stripe have a choice, have a say in the kind of education their kids get. Because when we have a centralized bureaucratic education doctrines and dogmas like this, this is exactly what happens. Meaningless liberal crap.
Well, see, when I went to school, which was only a few years ago.
That's because you're a young pup. A young kitten, sorry.
Yeah, I missed my 10-year reunion.
I just turned 40, so shut up.
There is not a whole lot of politicking going on in school. I honestly, because a lot of schools, not, at least the one that I went to, actually separated church and state. And then once you do that, it's pretty easy to teach things fairly.
Saying you were not indoctrinated by meaningless liberal crap?
No. First off, I grew up on a lot of military bases, and there's really, like, when you're there, there's one school that you get to go to, and you, there's nothing.
And the military tends to skew conservative.
They do, because the conservatives are the ones who want to give the military money. There's, like, one school on base, so that's the one that you go to. Or in some of the places that I lived, there was one school for four bases, and that's where you went. Not a whole lot of picking and choosing going on there. You go to the only school that you can possibly go to, and there's not a whole lot of politicking going on in there. There's just not. You're not even in America. Like, you just take whatever you can get.
Would like to remind people that think they are just leading the revolution to save the children. The children don't give a fuck. The children do not even know what conservative and liberal mean because they have not been fucked up by politics yet. They're still young enough to like each other. They don't have to use politics as a reason to fucking argue with people. They're in high school. They haven't regressed back to elementary school yet, like most adults do.
Honestly, kids have enough to worry about without having to throw in, you know, super, like, parents who are just so obsessed with their children's political waverings or whatever. The idea that parents are capable of deciding how to educate their children is unbelievable, because parents aren't. Like, parents
can
say...
That's what this is, I think. I think everyone who wants to do away with public education entirely figures, I want to control the future, the children are the future, so I need to control the children. Let's take them out of public schools where all those facts are. I can bring them home and just pound into their fucking heads that 2 + 2 equal fuck the Mexicans, and I can make them believe whatever I want them to believe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all parents, I believe, want the best for their kids, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are 100% of the time going to make the right decisions, especially about their child's education, when a parent can be so inflexible in their school of thought.
Isn't that the definition of indoctrination, though? What they want?
Yeah, we can't raise a bunch of kids to believe only what their parents believe. Like, that doesn't create progress. It keeps us flatlined at a place, and we can't do that. The world changes every single day. We invent new stuff, and there's scientific breakthroughs and medical breakthroughs, and history is happening every single day. And you can't decide that, well, we should just get rid of public education because it's just teaching a bunch of liberal crap, which by that, of course, they mean facts.
And I went to public school, and I've never invaded a country or fucked an altar boy, so I'm doing okay.
Yeah. See, I actually think this is something a little bit deeper. This is a war on education because, yeah. And this is going to sound so left-wing, but factually, I know right-wingers don't like facts, but factually, the numbers tend to skew. Uneducated people tend to be Republicans, and higher educated people tend to be Democrats. So the less education you have, the more you hate fags and Mexicans and niggers. What they want is to shore up their numbers. They have to make sure you don't get educated. They have to make sure you are stupid. Otherwise, you go to the other team. It's a war on education. Fox News is all about a war on facts. A recent study found that 67% of everything said in 2013 on Fox News was either inaccurate, outright wrong, or they left out certain elements. That 67% of everything Fox News did for 365 days, 24 hours a day, was wrong. And now you've got this Bill O'Reilly thing. Because, okay, Brian Williams, he lied about, you know, his war correspondence record, and I think he absolutely should be punished the way he is. Well, now Mother Jones, which is left-leaning, but they literally can back up every single accusation they make against Bill O'Reilly. Mother Jones has done a massive expose on Bill O'Reilly, showing that he lied about his war correspondence record during the Falklands War. And they even have video of him saying things that he's later contradicted, and the record contradicts, that he is now saying, I never said that. We have it on video. It's not me. Oh, and get this. This Mother Jones article is written by David Corn, a Fox News contributor.
Wow.
Basically, O'Reilly has no factual basis to refute any of the claims made against him. So he's gone the route I knew he was going to take. Attack Mother Jones. Fox News is now trying to say they're not refuting the facts. They're not saying Bill O'Reilly did. They're not trying to say he didn't lie about his Falklands War record. They're trying to say this is a political hit job because, and I'm quoting here, if one of theirs goes down, they're referring to Brian Williams, one of ours has to go down. So the only reason they're now coming after Bill O'Reilly is to even the playing field from Brian Williams. And at one point, one of the guests on his show, this is so, so fucking beautiful. One of the guests on his show said that Mother Jones should be ashamed of itself for, quote, using journalism to get a political enemy.
I'm sorry. Mother Jones should be ashamed for using journalism to attack a political enemy?
Uh-huh. Basically what they're saying is, how dare you bring facts to a bullshit fight? How dare you, sir?
How dare you do what we do, but do it accurately?
Yeah, how dare you try to cut in on our fucking action?
There are levels of stupidity at play here that I'm really having a hard time grasping. Everything hurts. My brain doesn't like this.
Need
Fox News. Fox News is just... They are just the pettiest children who just... God, it's so frustrating that they exist at all. Like, seriously. Okay.
Please, everything please in the Mother Jones article is backed up by facts. They took every piece of video or an interview with O'Reilly where he talked about his war correspondence record in the Falkland Islands, and they used actual video from the Falkland Islands and the military and CBS, who O'Reilly worked for at that time's own records, to prove that, for instance, he claimed he was in the middle of the Falkland Wars. He was in there in a war zone during wartime. He landed 1,200 miles away the day after fighting ceased. He was never shot at. The worst thing he was involved in, and this is official from CBS News, a protest protesting the end of the war where some rocks were thrown. He claims that his cameraman was shot, and he literally threw his cameraman over his shoulder and got his cameraman out of the war zone.
I think the people of Ferguson have seen more war than this guy.
No shit. And every single thing, he has no defense other than saying, wasn't me on the video, or you knew he was going here. CBS is lying because they're now my political enemy and they're trying to smear me.
When did they start releasing all this stuff about Bill O'Reilly? Because it does seem very coincidentally that all this stuff about Brian Williams comes out and then all this stuff about Bill O'Reilly comes out. Is that, like, a coincidence?
Probably not, but I don't think that discounts the factual accuracy of any of it.
Well, because, I mean, the timing, like, I can understand, like, oh, well, if we're gonna take Brian Williams down, then you're gonna take us down and blah, blah, blah. Like, I get where they're coming from with that. It's just like... Man, people are crazy.
Or it could have been because of the Brian Williams scandal. O'Reilly has been really, in the last couple of weeks, puffing up his chest about how he was a true war correspondent. So maybe it was Mother Jones saw that and said, you know what? We got to take this motherfucker. Yeah, fuck this guy. So that could be a coincidence. It could be that they're right. I don't think it's a political hit job, but the timing could be you're bitching about Brian Williams when you were just as big of a hypocrite.
Because they are giving... By doing it when they did, they're giving him ammunition to say, well, you're just mad because Brian Williams and now you're taking it out on me. But really, like, what a fucking scumbag.
Just because it's timed the way it is doesn't make it not true.
And keep in mind, David Korn, Fox News contributor. So this was a right-winger taking down a right-winger.
Using a left-wing publication. Neither Brian Williams nor Bill O'Reilly have lost any credibility in my eyes because they never really had any to begin with. What both of these guys did was exaggerate about the level of danger they were in to look cool. If I hold it against them, then I have to hold it against every man that has ever lived or will ever live. I've never met anybody who has not done that at some point in their life. People exaggerate, they try to heighten the drama to justify their own actions. Like, you know, whether he did the right thing or he did the wrong thing, hey, he was under a lot of pressure. His helicopter got hit. Let's give him a break. People exaggerate for different reasons. Brian Williams might have just been trying to get laid. Bill O'Reilly was trying to look tough in front of a dominatrix. I don't know what he's into. It could be anything.
He's into falafels and loofahs, remember?
That's right, falafels and loofahs, which is fine. That is your right. I've not relied on a television news anchor to get news in a long fucking time. This whole thing is ridiculous to me. I mean, you can read any newspaper in the world in your own home right now. If you're still being spoon-fed the news by a fucking blow-dried reader, then you deserve whatever horror you're experiencing now. Brian Williams lied. Big deal. Everybody who's ever lived has lied. Bill O'Reilly has lied. Not a big surprise there. I didn't put much stock into Bill O'Reilly anyway.
For the Bill O'Reilly thing? Just ask Andrea Macris about that. But then, what does this say about credibility and accountability? What does this also say about a lack of equivalency? Brian Williams is caught lying, and he is fired, and everything he's ever said is now gone over with a fine-tooth comb to see what else he might have lied about. Bill O'Reilly, Michael Savage, Rush Limbaugh, Newt Gingrich, etc., lie constantly. They get their own talk shows and raises. When a left-winger gets caught in a scandal like this, they tend to fade into obscurity. When a right-winger gets caught in a scandal like this, they get their own talk show and their visibility rises. Is there a false equivalency here when it comes to credibility?
Well, I think lying to the public is sort of the standard for those kinds of people. It is just how you do business. You just lie. I don't know, because I don't pay attention to these kinds of news peoples.
I don't think anything he's ever said should be called into question, though, because Brian Williams was a news anchor. Those were not his words. Those were the words that were written by whoever decided what Brian Williams should be saying.
His news producer.
Yeah, exactly. I think Brian Williams' own words probably make up about 5% of his overall screen time that he's ever had. Credibility means nothing because he's not writing the news. He's just reading it.
But I think a lot of people are kind of just disappointed because I think people have found him just generally sort of likable. And I think that's...
Yeah, I could see that. I like Brian Williams.
It's sort of like Bill Cosby. You know, like, Brian Williams is like America's uncle who just sort of knows everything. And you just, you take him sort of seriously because he just seems to know everything and he's rather pleasant about it. Whereas people who have their horrible, horrible talk shows are so full of vitriol and hate. It's like, it takes a certain caliber of person to listen to that, whereas everyone could listen to Brian Williams.
You have to battle that meaningless liberal crap you're taught in schools.
Also, Brian Williams did not drug and rape 35 women.
I thought it was 37 at this point. A couple more came forward just a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, God damn it. You are killing me.
Sorry, man. Sorry. But I do want to talk a little bit about this more, about journalism being used as a weapon. Are we going down a very dangerous road when facts and journalism are discounted because of not how they're used, but the reason that they're used? Like I said, Fox News can't even really debate the fact that Mother Jones is accurate and they vetted all of their sources and all of their information. They are just trying to minimize the damage by saying, well, they're using journalism as a weapon. Isn't that what journalism is supposed to be?
I don't think journalism is supposed to be a weapon. I think it's the fourth estate. I don't think journalism should be used as a weapon. I think journalism should be just the reporting of facts. I think people that are especially articulate should offer editorials. I don't think that's journalism. I think that's entertainment. I think all editorials are entertainment. I think this show, 100% editorial, is entertainment. I don't think anybody should be taking us completely seriously without verifying anything.
I think certainly it shouldn't be. But I think that's the way it's been for a long time. Anything that's reported on politically is certainly being used that way because people can't help but put a spin on everything that's getting reported nowadays. In an ideal world, I don't think journalism should be a weapon, but I think anybody who is in that industry is using it that way every single day, every single time, just to push their own agenda. And unfortunately, that agenda is usually revolved around money. So it's really interesting that the facts are getting fucked over time and time again and just riling up the common people for no reason so that some schmuck owning a Fortune 500 company can make a couple extra bucks. That's what it all boils down to, in my opinion.
I think journalism, it should be a weapon to defend facts. Because there are so many people that want to obscure and rape the facts. That's what journalism is supposed to be to me. But I'm a little more militant about the truth. I think the truth should come through no matter what. Whether it makes you look bad, whether it makes you look stupid, the truth is what matters. And I think credibility is something that you only – it's like virginity. Once it's gone, it's gone. People like Bill O'Reilly have never had credibility. Brian Williams until last month? To a lot of people, he did. He never will again, and he hurt NBC News because of it, the same way Tom Brokaw's idiotic Bush Papers thing hurt CBS News. Credibility is like virginity. You can't get it back. Once it's gone, it's gone. Kat, where can people find you actually checking your sources and vetting shit?
Well, usually I'm just talking out of my ass over on Twitter, at LabyrinthCat and Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And I've actually been getting a bunch of likes on Facebook, which is really weird, but awesome. And then you can also find me on my other shows, Thespian Talk, over on RTGomer.com. And then you can also find me on my other show, Nerd to the Third Power, over on Channel Awesome and This Week in Geek.
Charlie, who, where can people find him just flying off the cuff and being all pissed about all the Bill Cosby raping in his karaoke clubs?
You can get me on Facebook, Twitter, and Geek Juice Media. Check out Live Nude Geeks, Geek Juice Radio, Random Riffs, and my debut comedy album, Zen as Fuck, is still on that site, available for free download. Go check it out. It'll give you a smile.
And you can find me at 1201beyond.com. I really do verify all this stuff as much as I can. Contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And I would honestly like somebody to email 1201beyond@gmail.com, either a right-winger or a Republican or something, and tell me why Bill O'Reilly still has any credibility with you. I want to know why you refuse to look at the facts about what a liar this man is, and why is he still the highest-rated hour in cable news? It sickens me, but...
Yeah, among the three of us, two of us have got to be completely full of shit most of the time. Let us know if we are.
It's usually you and me, Charlie, because Kat's usually the more level-headed one about us.
Yeah.
Someone has to be.
So, have a good night, guys. Verify your facts. Stop watching Fox News. Drop us a message at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And remember, you can buy t-shirts and whatnot off the site, and go buy something to stick up your butt. Unless you're a Republican, then you have to do that off the record.
Joke? There must be some mistake. Am I on candid camera? Am I even awake? Fuck me!
Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.